What we're going to do is I'm going to select a number of halachot that relate to Rosh Hashanah, and if you have questions or comments, feel free please to comment or to ask questions that you have with reference to that which I'm going to discuss. There is a practice that the Ramah says here in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Aleph Sif Aleph. From Rosh Chodesh on, as you know, we blow shofar after the tefillah of Shacharis in the morning. And this is a time-honored custom, and there are many reasons that the Mishnah Berurah here mentions why we do that. So I was asked a number of times by individuals if they missed that tekiyah shofar, what's the halacha? So obviously that tekiyah shofar is not a din daraisa, it's not a requirement in the Torah, and therefore it's obviously something that one should be makbid about, but certainly it's a chovas sibur and not a chovas yochid. And there are, as I said, different reasons that the Mishnah Berurah here mentions. One reason he gives from the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to be mekabel luchos shniyos, so the Parashah tells us that v'yaviru kol shofar b'machane, in order that people should not err after Avodah Zarah, should not be led astray. And that's why we are tokeya Rosh Chodesh Elul b'chol shana b'shana every year, in order to tell Am Yisrael to do tshuva. Mishnah Berurah calls the pasuk in Navi, where the Navi says, famous pasuk. Can the shofar be blown in the city and people not be frightened? So this is a very significant practice, which is essentially associated with tshuva. So someone asked me the following question. Let's say they came late to davening, which is of course a rare occurrence, certainly in this yeshiva. They came late to davening and they find themselves in the middle of their own Shemoneh Esrei. They're davening Shemoneh Esrei, and all of a sudden the tzibur has reached the end of davening, and now they're blowing the shofar. Should I stop my Shemoneh Esrei? Someone asked me this question 2 days ago here in the yeshiva. Should they stop the Shemoneh Esrei to listen to the tekiyah shofar? To me, it's pashut. You should not be mafsik. I don't understand what the issue is. And the reason is because you may or may not be aware of a practice that somebody found in Rishonim. It's quoted by the Magen Avraham that many people have a practice. Maybe here, well, by show of hands, we'll see who has this practice. Sometimes people blow the shofar in the silent Shemoneh Esrei. Anyone here have that practice? Does it remember having that practice in the silent Shemoneh Esrei, blowing shofar? Okay, there are a number of such people. It's mentioned by the Magen Avraham, it's quoted by Rishonim. And the Magen Avraham says not to be Noe King Bechatrila. Bechatrila, that's not a proper practice. Why not? He writes over there, Kidei Shelo Yisbalbel Betfilaso. Because otherwise people might get mixed up. They might not know exactly when they stop to hear the tekiyah shofar, they won't exactly know where they are in the Shemoneh Esrei. And certainly that there's a basis for that kind of bilbo, and since there's a din that one is supposed to daven Rosh Hashanah, besides the regular 7 bracha, the Rebbe Yom Tov, and Shabbos, we add additional 3 bracha, the Machiel, Zuchana, Veshofros, and many Rishonim hold that Tkiyos, I'll say that our brachos, Tkiyos in conjunction with the brachos, the din daraisa. So therefore, we're worried about bilbo, because we're worried you might not know where to go back to where you daven. However, when it comes over here, the Tkiyos Shofar, after davening, that obviously is not an issue. Plus, as I said before, it's not a chovas yachid, it's a chovas sibur. And in general, one should not be mafsik in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Someone also asked me the other day, what about Birchas Kohanim? I'm in the middle of my silent Shemoneh Esrei, and the Kohanim come to Duchin. Should I stop to listen to Birchas Kohanim? Mishnah Berurah does not discuss this issue. Nowhere in the 6 halakim that I'm familiar with. He doesn't discuss this issue. So what's the din? Of course, the answer is machlokes. The machlokes is among contemporary poskim. It is poshut to me that you should not be mafsik, not even an issue. I don't understand what the Havamim means to say the other way, but there are poskim who say you can't be mafsik. For example, if I hear Kriyas HaTorah, there's someone in my shul that he tells me he's always late, which is true, I can testify to that, and he ends up hearing Tekiyah Shofar in Shemoneh Esrei, Birchas Kohanim in Shemoneh Esrei, Kriyas HaTorah in Shemoneh Esrei, and his silent in Shemoneh Esrei. Are you allowed to be mafsik to hear Kriyas HaTorah in the Shemoneh Esrei? And again, since we assume that Kriyas HaTorah, is it an obligation upon each individual to hear Kriyas HaTorah, or is it a Chovas Sibur? What do most Poskim assume? It's a Chovas Sibur, correct. Those who learned Maseches Megillah last year, remember the Mishnah, that indicate to us that Kriyas HaTorah requires Asara, it's a Chovas Sibur, and therefore Yachid should not be mafsik his tefillah in the middle of his Silent Shemoneh Esrei in order to hear Kriyas HaTorah. So it seems to me that certainly Kolshkein, as far as hearing the Tekiyas at the end of davening, one should not be mafsig, it's only a minog, you should not be mafsig. So according to my understanding, you shouldn't be mafsig neither for Tekiyah Shofar, nor for Birchas Kohanim, nor for Kriyas HaTorah, etc. Okay, all right, we'll
explain that. Sorry, 2 things. First of all, the fact that it's not a C word, that means that you need a C
what I just quoted to you is a tshuva by Moshe Chelek Alpha, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look at it again. I haven't seen it in a number of years. But that's generally the tact that he takes in order to resolve this issue. That's what he assumes. Also, I think there's a tshuva of Rav Weinfeld in the Lev Avraham of a similar nature that I saw also years ago. That's the tact basically both of them take in order to explain this position. But I hear, if everyone hears what Rabbi Willig is saying. Rabbi Willig is pointing out that the Mishnah Megillah that indicates that you need a minyan, that's all the Mishnah is telling you, that Kriyas HaTorah requires a minyan in order to have Kriyas HaTorah. But it doesn't mean that there's no individual obligation upon each person to yitzki HaShovei after davening, but it's only a minog, and it's clear that one should not be mafsik for a minog in the middle of a Shemoneh Esrei. That to me is davar pasha. I want to mention another few issues. Again, these were raised in the last 3-4 days. Several people raised these issues with me. Second issue that people raised, besides the first one that I just mentioned, regarding Birchas HaTorah. This is nogei actually, as far as Slichot is concerned. HaSfaradim HaTohorim amongst us, and Baruch Hashem, there are a fair number of them, Ken Yirbu. So the Sfaradim HaTohorim have been saying Slichot for quite a while. The Ashkenazim may have not noticed, because they're usually in the arms of Morpheus at that point in time. But the Sfaradim are saying Slichot at 3 o'clock in the morning, or whatever they say, Slichot, etc. And the question is, let's say Ashkenazim, who perhaps say Slichot a bit later, as is wont in many yeshivas, including Torah Shraga. Now the question is, what about Birchas HaTorah? The Gemara says in Brachas, and the Rechavim quotes in Shulchan Aruch, before you actually go ahead and say Divrei Torah, you have to say Birchas HaTorah in the morning. What about as far as Slichot is concerned? So, if you look at Mishnah Berurah and Simin Vav here, I see it for myself, and Simkot and Yud Aleph, he writes the following. The Mashinogim Rov HaHamon, Lehispalos Slichos Kodem Or HaBoker. People say Slichos early in the morning, that's the ideal time to say Slichos, or after Chatzos at night time. And only afterwards do they wash their hands and they say Birchas HaTorah. The Mishnah Berurah clearly has difficulty with this position. And he tries to be Miyashi this minog. And he says that the reason why they're allowed to do that because when we are davening, we're saying Slichos, we say many Psukim. But how do we say the Psukim? Derech Tfilo Bakasha. That's what Mishnah Berurah writes over here. We say it Derech Tfilo Bakasha. We don't say it as Divrei Torah. Means when is there an obligation to say Birchas HaTorah before you learn Torah? When you're learning Torah, qua Torah, as Torah. But if you're simply quoting Psukim from the Torah as part of your tefillah, as part of Bakasha, Mishnah Berurah says that that is something which you can perhaps understand why not mechlit to say Birchas HaTorah. However, Mishnah Berurah says further, the Gavim Tzias Yadayim, he said, L'yafzik kol kach, el yivarach miyad bikumo, you should actually say the bracha of Tzias Yadayim and wash your hands as soon as you get up. Oh, yes, it's wachav. You should go to the bathroom. Achav gemar haslichos v'yivarichos. After you finish slichos, then you should go ahead and make a bracha. Mashav in the Shabura, the Gabi Birchas HaTorah is not a chatchila. The Shabura is just being miyashiv the minag hahamon. He's just resolving the minag, which is universally practiced. Mikra din, one should certainly make Birchas HaTorah beforehand. And if you look in the Ramon, Simon Membov here, Siptes, the Shabura in Hilchos Birchas HaShachar, Ramos says that the minhag d'mei haslichos shem isbalu in slichos yachar kach mivarchim al haTorah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes over there, and that Ramon simin membav siftes. The Mishnah Berurah ends over there by saying the nagul d'sadi birchas haTorah miyad achar birchas hashayotzer. The Mishnah Berurah writes over there sitkan chavches. That which the Ramon says nagul d'sadi haynu shekahayom nagul olam lahachmish shalom hashum sukim kodem birchas haTorah. So the proper practice is to say birchas haTorah before slichos. That's what one should do. And as I said, someone asked me another question. This was asked to me by one of the Balabatim in my shul that I daven in, that he asked me, what is the Seder of Slichot? Everyone knows how Slichot begins, but the Sephardic and Ashkenazic Slichot begin in a similar fashion. There are differences, but not major differences, to be honest. How does the Slichot begin? With Ashrei. You recall that? How does it end? With Tachanun. So the Torah Shulchan Aruch writes that many poskim bring down, that essentially what we have here, this is what I heard from the Rav many times, it's in the form of a Shemoneh Esrei. So he asked me, let's say he comes late, the same Balabas who always comes late to everything, comes late to Slichot as well, he has to be consistent. Anyway, so as a result, he comes late to Slichot, and then he asked me, what should I do? Should I jump into Slichot with the Tzibur, or should I say Ashrei? Must I say Ashrei first? That's what he wanted to know. Must he say Ashrei first, even though as a result of that, he'll probably miss at least one or two Slichot with the Tzibur, or should he say the Slichot together with the Tzibur? I thought, the Pashtus, that one could say a svara in either direction. On the one hand, one could argue that Ashrei is not really an integral part of the Slichot themselves. Ashrei is simply a kind of preamble. It's a kind of introduction to the Slichot. And therefore, one could perhaps jump quickly into the slichot without saying Ashrei. Mitzad sheni, that the Rishonim that I mentioned, that I quoted by the Tur Shulchan Aruch, indicate that the entire slichot, that's where our Soloveitchik saw the slichot as essentially being in the form of Shemoneh Esrei. And as a result of that, we began actually with Ashrei, and from Ashrei actually we continue, we go on, and we have actually the first three brachot of Shemoneh Esrei, our Soloveitchik attempted to prove it, and then in the middle you have Shema Koleinu, and the end you have Tachanun, and it has a Din Shemoneh Esrei. If it's a Din Shemoneh Esrei, then Ashrei, of course, the Rav said, is the Matir, before you go ahead and say Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara says, Lama b'tfilah b'tach d'vaterah, the Gemara in Brachos, and Tosfos is quoted in Brachos as well. And therefore, as a result of that, it would seem to me that the proper thing to do is to say Ashrei first, and then subsequently to go and join the Tzibur in the Slichot that they are saying. In terms of a few other issues that I jotted down for myself, the Chabri here mentions the practice of being Matir Neder on the Erev Rosh Hashanah, Hatarat Nedarim. And by the way, this is a time-honored practice, one that's... I saw actually in my neighborhood, Svardim, the night before Rosh Hashanah, they gathered together. I was actually once part of the Bezin, but the Svardim in my neighborhood, there were 1,000 women who were in the shul. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of women came to the shul, and I was part of the Bezin to Imatir Neder. And it seems that women also come to Hatarat Nedarim. If I'm not mistaken, that Rabbi Avadia, Maran Rabbi Avadia Yosef, Shlita, that he actually discussed this with one of his chubis, that he says that in habal mevakesh hatara b'avur ishto, that a husband does not ask hataras nedarim on behalf of his wife. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, that is not the Ashkenazi practice. The Ashkenazi practice is that it's a din yerodeh, I think the Mechaber Paskins, that a baal could become a shliach to imatir nidre ishto, to go ahead and be matir nedarim of his wife, because we paskin ishto begufo, and therefore, as a result of that, generally speaking, when I am matir nedarim erev Rosh Hashanah, so I ask the dayanim as well, I'm being mevakesh hatara gam b'avur ishti, for my wife as well. You don't have to say it in nusach again three times the way you say it for yourself. It's enough. You say it for yourself three times, and then you include your wife as well. And the dayanim, they answer me. They don't say, I tell them this is what I instruct them to do. They don't say mutar lach, mutar lach, mutar lach, mutar lachem, mutar lachem, mutar lachem. Kach ani noeg on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's not exactly, I think, a practice that's popular. The fact of the matter is, I heard this from Rav Tuvi Goldstein, Zechazad Livracha. Since I see Rabbi Rachman Shlita is here, you could ask the Bar Adasra of what's it called, Zichron Yankin, or whatever it is. Ask him, Rav Mordechai Goldstein, because I heard from Rav Tuvi Goldstein, he said the practice was in Europe, they were marked with shlichus for women. That's what they used to do. But the Sfaradim Minhag is not like that. And that's what Yavi Omer, Rav Avadi, actually has a tshuva. Women actually come on Rosh Hashanah night, that's the night before Rosh Hashanah, and they're matir neder on behalf of these women. And the fact of the matter is, the minhag certainly, however, in Ashkenazic circles is not to do that. Women do not have hataras nedarim. I heard this from Rav Neven Solon, Rav Shlomo Zalman. I think it's found also in Halichot Shlomo. That's not the practice of women to go ahead and be matir neder. I want to mention, Mechaber says here, and this is also a well-known practice, as mentioned by the Tosfos here, in Masechet Brachot, the Azirax did. Name of the Mechaber writes here in Tov Kuf Pei Bet, now, seriously, make tshuva, starting Rosh Hashanah, we say HaMelech HaKadosh. That we know the whole year we say what? HaKel HaKadosh. And on Rosh Hashanah, now seriously, make tshuva, we say HaMelech HaKadosh. Let's say a person makes a mistake, or he has a suffix. And what's the din? So as long as you remember Tokhi Dei Dibur, the halacha is that you can say HaMelech HaKadosh, you don't have to go back. If you don't remember Tokhi Dei Dibur, we possibly have to go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara assumes that the first three brachot are considered to be one unit. And therefore, if a person makes a mistake, and you don't remember Tokhi Dei Dibur is the time to say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe Yomari, then you have to go back, because the first three brachot are considered to be as one unit. I mean, what would be, someone asked me actually just the other day, what about if I say HaMelech HaKadosh the whole year around? Am I mechuyev to go back? I didn't say HaKel HaKadosh, I said HaMelech HaKadosh. The Pashut Pshat, even though I think the Aruch HaShulchan talks about it, I don't recall what he says, to be very honest, but the question is that called Meshaneh Matbeah Shetam HaKacham? Is that considered to be? The Gemara says that you're not allowed to alter the nusach or the matbeah that Chazal, the coinage that they used. And I think the Aruch HaShulchan has a suffix. To me, it's pasha. You're not mechuyev to go back. I don't even see what the issue is. But whatever the case is, the Aruch HaShulchan has a suffix. He's masking. Okay. Raya masking to Rav Osner. Let's put things in the right perspective. Rabbi Willard quoted Rabbi Bosner, who's one of the Gdolei Ador. Rabbi Bosner is a very well-known posek in Dayan, Rosh Hashiva, in Bnei Brak, and he actually learned in Chachmei Lublin. He learned the Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, where Amir Shapira Zatzal, and he's certainly one of the venerable sages of our generation. I'll mention the famous psak that Mr. Brewer quotes from the Chayyadam. Right. I mean, the insertion of Chayim Tein Pachtecha before the third bracha is the subject of a Machlokes Tanoim, also in Masechet Gemara Shoshana Daf Lamed Aleph, three of Machlokes Tanoim. What's it doing there? It doesn't belong in that bracha. Elas, Rabbi Reichman, I'm sure, has a lot of Torah to say about this, one of the Rav's favorite topics. What of the Chayim Tein Pachtecha? What's it doing there in the third bracha? The third bracha is Avos. The third bracha is actually, you have Avos, Gurus, Kedush Hashem, doesn't belong to Kedush Hashem. What's it doing there? So the Gemara is Machlokes Tanoim. That the question really was the following issue. The issue is, maybe I'll discuss this with another on Monday night, I don't know. There's Machlokes Tanoim with reference to the question of, I interrupted you, Rav Goldsberg, but let me just finish the point. There's Machlokes Tanoim with reference to the question of, there are, how many brachas in the Shmoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah? 7 plus 3. If I have 7, the 7 classic brachas of, we have every Yom Tov and Shabbos, and I add 3 malchus of Anu B'Shofros, I should have 10. But how many are there? 9. So obviously one of them has to merge. That's Machlokes Tanoim, where the merger occurs. And apparently there was a day in the Gemara, we don't pass it like that. We pass when the merger occurs between Malchus and Kedushas Hayom. Those two merge together. The Ramban and Rishonim write that it's essentially, it's not a violation of the Gemara of Echesim Vishtayim because it's one theme. Malchus is the theme of Kedushas Hayom, of Rosh Hashanah. We are being Mamluk Hashem, we're making Hashem Melech. That's why we insert our Melech HaKadosh. But there was a day in the Gemara that, no, where was this included? It was included in the third bracha, Akdush Hashem, and that's a V'chein Tein Bakhtecha that's found over there. But that's not what you wanted to say. Go ahead. No, if a person, we said, made a mistake. I mean, if a person has a suffix, a Roshon Yom Kippur, he said, Amal HaKadosh, but you are certain, you said, V'chein Tein Pachtecha, that's what I understood Rabbi Goldschmidt is saying, and you said, V'chein Tein Pachtecha, the Mishabura writes, Klo, you don't have to go back. And that's what he says, Balocha. And that's, I think, how we pass in exactly what Rabbi Goldschmidt was pointing out, even though it was not clear to me that the Mishabura was Machriya in this matter, Bibbeirur. Not 100%, I have to look at the Mishnah Berurah again, I haven't seen it since last year. But if I'm not mistaken, it's not a clear achron, the Mishnah Berurah. If I'm not mistaken, the Chayodam, Paskin, you don't have to go back. I heard from the love of the name of the Beis Halevi, you don't have to go back. You don't have to go back. And the Shulchan Aruch was only talking about Shar Yomim, Shar Seres and Mechuba. The Shulchan Aruch was talking about, let's say, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have a suffix, whether you said it, whether he said it, V'chein Tein Patr, Hashem Elokeinu, HaKol Ma'asecha. You know who talks about this? Biskei Chubas. You know, one of your favorite psalms. So he discussed this matter, I saw it last year. He discussed this matter, and he brings a whole bunch of Baruch Mekomos with reference to this topic. I want to mention the psak of Avram Abel Mipesilva, which is one of my favorite psak in the Chayodim. Mr. Brewer quotes his psak in the Chayodim. The Rav said many shurim on this famous psak. There was a famous Godel named Rav Abel Mipesilva. The only problem is the only psak that people know of him is this psak that I'm about to tell you. No one ever heard of him. Many years ago, Masada Rav Kook put out a sefer. I was in spoil. I thought the man only issued one psak in his lifetime. I discovered the man was a going beyond belief. A going adiv and kalato akula. Okay, I don't mean to put you to sleep, but I'm just telling you that this Avam Abala has a famous psak. Let's say a person on a Shulam night makes a mistake and doesn't say Amel HaKadosh. So he passed it, you don't have to go back. You ever hear of such a thing? You don't have to go back. Why not? What's the deal if a person forgets Yalav Yavo at nighttime? You have to go back at night time, Yalav Yavo? No. Gemara at the end of the fourth paragraph of Brachos. And the Kachin, since Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh, and the Kachin is Achodesh Balayla, you don't have to go back. And the same thing applies to Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh, correct? Even though we don't mention the idea of Rosh Chodesh, that's Taisi Rosh Hashanah and Abches, Bakesa Liam Chagenu. We keep it hidden. We don't want the Sutton. We're trying to, by now you think the Sutton would know? He doesn't have a calendar? Okay, that needs attention. That you speak to Rabbi Reichman, he knows about all these things. Anyway, the Shaar Tzion writes, and the Mishnah Berurah over here, he says, Daba Zeh Lo Nehira. The Mishnah Berurah does not like this psak, because I understand if a person would only dive in the Tefillah Schol on Rosh Hashanah night, you dive in a weekday Tefillah, then the halacha is that if you don't say Malach HaKadosh, I'm going to go back. But what am I davening on Rosh Hashanah night? I'm davening a Tefillah of Yom Tov, correct? The whole Tefillah I'm davening is a Rosh Hashanah Tefillah. So if that's the case, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't understand why Avram Abel Pesvila why are you paskin that you're not mechuyev to go back? And this is the subject of a lot of discussion. And Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal had a lot to say about this particular matter. I'm just mentioning this psak. If you're interested, you can speak to me further about it. The Rav actually based himself on Aben Yona in Brachas. There's a tshuva Rameshah about this, and there's a lot of material about this issue. It's a very, I think, a very fascinating issue. I want to mention one or two more things. Those of you undoubtedly remember that on Rosh Hashanah night, the Mechabi here mentions, he quotes from the Gemara here, Tavkuf Pei Gimel, the people have simanim on Rosh Hashanah night. People eat all kinds of different foods on Rosh Hashanah night. I assume everyone here has simanim, more or less. This is mentioned by the Mechaber. It's a Gemara in Hurrius. The Chayyim quotes it, and it's based on a Ramban, a very fascinating Ramban. The Ramban writes in Lech Lecha, the Chayyim mentions this Ramban. It's not my Chiddush. The Ramban points out that in Tanakh, when you learn Navi, you find there were Nevi'im who used to do a lot of things, concrete symbols. They used to, for example, I'll give you an example, famous example. There are many examples, but Yecheskel HaNavi went to Nahar Prat, Euphrates, and he tied a ribbon to a rock in Nahar Prat. Why did he do that for? So the Navi writes over there that just as the ribbon is going to eventually, over a period of time, it will disintegrate over many years, etc., so too, Achmanu Litzlan, Klal Yisrael is going to disintegrate, the Churban is going to come. Now, the Navi does certain concrete actions, and these concrete actions telegraph what's going to be in the future. Ramban's language over here, as I Xerox did, he writes, Kol Gzerat Irin, Mishayetzi Lamata, Siman Zer Lo Yishtaneh B'Shum Panim, V'lachein Yasu Anuviyim Maaseh B'Nivuot. And this is the reason for Siman Milsahi, why we do all kinds of, we eat these food items that the Mechaber here mentions, and there's a whole discussion in the Puskim, what to eat and what people eat first. Generally speaking, we tend to eat first Shivat Aminim. Even though in my family, my father, Shalom, his meaning was to eat the apple in the honey. Correct? And we used to sing the niggun. Dip the apple in the honey. I don't forget what comes after that. I couldn't find that niggun in Shulchan Aruch, nor did I find it mentioned among the Gdolei HaPoskim, but there's no question that that niggun is Ma'akim. The Mishnah Berurah actually quotes over here, Yesh Nog in Litval Prusat HaMotzi Bidvash. Mishnah Berurah quotes the practice of dipping the Prusat HaMotzi Bidvash. What it means is it's a symbol that we should have a sweet year and Hashem should bless us, etc., etc. My minog is actually on Rosh Hashanah night, is I still use melach. I still use salt. I looked into the matter. The Mishnah Berurah actually does not discuss it. I saw the Kabachayim, for those who follow the Sardi practice, and the question is what to do first. My practice is first to dip it in salt, and then dip it in dvash. That's what my father Vashom did. And that's all according to Tamiyam and Hogim. Whatever the case is, I think that is the proper, correct practice. As far as what to do first, there's a machloket haposkim. Some people do the Shivat Aminim first, which is probably the more correct thing to do, whichever the Shivat Aminim is. I mentioned in the Pasuk Yechumash, Eretz Chita Sahura Gefen Tein Arima Eretz Zeshem Udvash, and others actually follow the Ramam Shita, which is Chaviv Kodem, whichever is Chaviv to them, that's the one they're going to do first. I'll mention also, in terms of the Bracha, I mean the Bracha obviously is the issue, of course, of Dvarim Haboyim. Rabbi Reichman is referring to a famous issue. Namely, the Gemara says that in the middle of a meal, if I eat something in the middle of a meal, do I make a bracha on it or not? So it's totally on the sugya in brachas, where the Gemara says that there are two types of food items. There's dvarim haboyim betoch hasuda v'achmas hasuda, and dvarim haboyim betoch hasuda shalom achmas hasuda. Let's say a person has a fruit in the middle of a meal. What's your practice? What do you do? Do you make a bracha on that fruit? Do you not make a bracha? Do you assume that fruit is related to the meal, or is it not related to the meals? That's the question. I mean, there could be this achilik here between the different types of simana. For example, the Shulchan Aruch mentions rubya, karti, silka, ukra. The pashtus, I would say you don't make a bracha on them, because they are things that come betoch ha-suda, lis'o, the way Taisus writes in brachas. So the purpose is part of the suda itself. And therefore, you would not make a bracha on those items. However, the other items that I mentioned here in the Shulchan Aruch, let's say, perot she'ochlim l'sim and tov. What do we eat for sim and tov? Let's say rimonim. What do we say over there? I forgot the exact language that we use exactly. We eat rimonim or we eat tzmarim. The pashas they would require a bracha. Because as I said, it's eaten, as I pointed out, they're eaten from the simetov, and therefore that's something which is dvarim haboyim betoch hasuda shalom achmas hasuda. I was many times, by the way, at weddings, I sat myself next to Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. He was sitting on the dais, so I sat on the dais too, even though I wasn't invited to be on the dais. I sat there, I wanted to see, for example, they had grapefruit. I was curious to see what he did. He ate the grapefruit with bread. Because he had a suffix, I asked him already about seven times, he had a suffix, whether, what's the status of that grapefruit? People generally assume grapefruit is eaten for what purpose? In order to garer. to whet your appetite. Wet meaning W-H-E-T, as opposed to W-E-T. You want to whet your appetite, correct? So therefore, in order to whet your appetite, that's why you eat the grapefruit. So that means it would not require a bracha. Do we assume, no, that the grapefruit actually is something which is eaten before the meal? Maybe that's what it means to whet your appetite, I assume. And therefore, would require a bracha. He had a suffix, so therefore, then I asked him, what does that mean? For every grapefruit, he has a piece of bread? And that's exactly how he was knowing. Anytime he had a piece of grapefruit, he had a piece of bread. Kach ra'iti, that's what I saw a number of times. So what Rabbi Reichel was asking, that something which is l'simen tov v'alma does not require a bracha, something which is an integral part of the meal, that would require a bracha. I just want to mention one last thing, since it's almost a quarter to four, and I want to stop a quarter to four, and that is the practice that the Mechaber mentions. People are not so familiar with this, but the Mechaber mentions the practice of fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And that is a proper thing to do, and you only have to fast half a day, only till Chatzos. Chatzos, I assume now, is around 12:30 or so, something in that neighborhood. It's a proper practice, so those who are not familiar with it, you should become familiar with it. And the last thing I'll mention is the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. Ramah says here in Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, Nagim Shelo Lishom Rosh Hashanah Minog Nochonu. There's a minog not to sleep in Rosh Hashanah, and it's a proper minog. And it's based on Yerushalmi, the Shabruah quotes here. The Yerushalmi says, a person who sleeps in Rosh Hashanah, his mazel will sleep on him the entire year. So how do we pass on the halacha? So the pashto is, it seems to me, that we passed in that you can sleep in Rosh Hashanah without a problem. I don't think people are makbid on this. Many people are tired after davening or what have you. And again, the reason is because the main Isser is dafka in the morning, for what I understand, when the Midas Adin is Shorer. However, the afternoon, generally people daven in the morning, so therefore, in the afternoon already it's not a problem. So those who sleep in Rosh Hashanah, Hashem should bless them. They should have a wonderful mazel. Kol Hashanah Kula.
I'll take the mic. I like your, what do you get?